This is the Make Money Blogging Podcast, episode 32 with digital nomad wannabe founder, Sharon Goulet. In today's episode, I'm discussing my business, all the new sites I've created, what I'm focusing on, what's working, and a case study update for my destination site on Malaysia as we enter our third year of this pandemic. This episode is perfect for people who like my case studies or love looking over my shoulder to see what I'm up to. You could call it an insider's look. While I always struggle to know what to share and can feel a bit weird about it, I do think it's helpful to see how other people are building their businesses, what is possible, and what you could learn and do as a result of that. I'm also going to be frank about how the pandemic has impacted my business, which can be a bit emotional for me, but I'll do my best. I'm also making big changes to how I run Digital Nomad Wannabe. Primarily, I'm stopping selling my course, The Fast Track, permanently, and I have no plans to introduce any other courses. So this episode is for anyone who wants an insider's look into how I'm running my business and the big choices and changes I'm making, you know, why, how the pandemic has influenced things, and for my latest case study update.
Welcome to the Make Money Blogging Podcast with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Each week on this show, you'll find actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income from your blog with no fluff, so you can quit the day job and have more freedom to do what you love. From SEO to affiliate marketing to blogging business strategies, it's all here. Let's start with your host, digitalnomadwannabe.com founder, Sharon Goulet.
So today we are talking about my business, what I'm working on in 2022, how the pandemic has impacted my business, my latest Malaysia site case study update, and the changes I'm making to Digital Nomad Wannabe. Now don't forget you can find today's show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode32. And if you enjoy today's show, then you should subscribe to the Make Money Blogging Podcast and leave a review. This episode is sponsored by Build Blog Freedom Fast Track, my 10-week program that shows you the 20% of blogging you need to do to get 80% of the results step by step. Learn exactly how to use SEO to get traffic and then to monetize that traffic with affiliates and advertising. Now, this is your last chance to sign up as I'm closing it down in a couple of weeks at the time that I'm recording this. So let's get started. I feel like I have a lot to cover today. So I'm going to start with how the pandemic has affected my business. I'm going to move into the D&W changes I'm making. I'm going to give you a case study update for my destination site about Malaysia before talking about everything else I'm doing in my business at the moment. Now, it is a lot. It might blow your mind a little bit, especially on my new sites. It's a little bit crazy and I'm a little bit embarrassed to talk about it because it feels like a lot when I say it out loud. But I really think there's a lot to learn from listening to what other people are doing and why, and thinking about how that, you know, how that could impact what you're doing in your business. So first of all, a quick intro to my business to remind you. While I started as a travel blogger with a family travel blog, I early on started Digital Nomad Wannabe to track my progress as I started building an online business. I had no idea when I first started this site in 2013 what I was doing, but I was determined to be successful, and I was. Since then, I started numerous other sites, and all of my earlier ones have been sold apart from Digital Nomad Wannabe, including my old travel blog. I also have many more and have got to the point where I actually have 11 sites at the moment that currently earn an income, and a further 5 which are newish and will earn money soon or on the back burner for the time being. I usually sell them at about 3 years old, so I don't have as many as what I have right now because it does get a lot. It's like every time you just like realize you did one thing wrong on a site or, you know, a plugin's changed a little, it becomes like this big overhead to go change them all. I really hate stuff like that. And it just becomes a lot to keep on track of and to do a good job, as I'm sure you can imagine. But anyway, for various reasons, which could just be a whole episode if I was to talk about it, I found it hard to sell them during the pandemic. So I haven't sold any in quite a while. So I generally consider myself to have 3 businesses. One is Dino Inc. Media, where I create new informational content sites like blogs. I get them profitable with SEO and affiliate marketing, exactly like I teach in the Fast Track. And I sell them once they earn a good level around the 3-year mark. Another business is my Malaysia destination site, which I had really big plans for back in 2020, but I rarely work on it in the time being because of the big impact that the pandemic has had. And the case study on this part of my business is coming up soon. To be honest, a lot of the times now, I really just think I have 2 businesses, because that one has just become such a non-event for the time being. Now, the final one is Digital Nomad Wannabe. So this blog, my podcast that I'm on right now, Facebook group, and my courses all form part of this. It's a very different part of my business because it's not so SEO and affiliate marketing focused. Now, all my businesses are related, but they also all have different approaches and strategies. And when I'm planning what I'm trying to achieve at a high level in my business and at a low level as well, you know, I think about them separately, but also together because I only have so many resources and time. And obviously, if I spend a lot of time and energy in one area, I don't in another. So I'm always having to work out the best way to spend that time. Now, two of these three businesses have been heavily impacted by COVID. The state, Malaysia, still has not properly opened its international borders and it's had movement orders, as they call it, like, or I would call it a lockdown, a lot of the time over the last couple of years. It does earn some money and it gets reasonable traffic when there isn't a movement order in place, thanks to the fact that many Malaysians look up information in English. But the revenue is very low compared to what I would expect with a foreign audience. You know, it really becomes very little when I have a majority of a Malaysian audience. Plus, if it's any indication of traffic, I would be getting huge amounts of traffic if I had everyone else in the world looking too. You know, Malaysia went from a small segment of my audience to like the majority. You know, if you sort of extrapolate on that, it could have been a lot different for me right now. Now, at the time the pandemic started, it was just taking off, just starting to earn more money. And I was mostly focused on that site with big plans. And it was honestly heartbreaking to have it all stop and to take a massive step backwards. Now, Digital Nomad Wannabe has been a major focus since I got serious about growing it around 5 years ago. But it's also been impacted by COVID. So much of my audience is travel bloggers, and probably a lot of you listening right now are going, yeah, I'm a travel blogger. And obviously, you've been massively impacted as well. My course sales got so low to the point where it didn't seem worth having them open to new students at all times, and I've kept it shut most of the time over the last 2 years. Now, while it might seem like a digital product like a course isn't any work once you set it up, this really isn't my experience at all. While I mightn't work on the course every day, you know, obviously I still answer questions. And it's a lot of effort to just keep getting people to sign up. It involves me putting out a lot of content to attract people to my blog, my podcast, or my Facebook group, then getting all those people on my email list. You know, once you're on my email list, I want to show you the benefits of learning from me in a more formal and extensive manner. And all of that takes time. So with this business being slammed, I've obviously had to reevaluate that. And then I'm left with my informational sites. Now, I have these in many niches, including travel, and some went up, some went down with the pandemic. Things like online shopping in Australia suddenly became way more lucrative, you know, especially like here in Melbourne. I think so many times we've only had food shops open or like pharmacies and shops like that, so you just can't buy anything really except for online. So it became a lot more lucrative. It really pushed everyone into shopping online, which was really good for me. In many ways, it was good for me personally too. But then I had sites on things like travel in Asia, which obviously were not helped at all. So overall, it's gone up revenue-wise, and most of my effort has been in this part of the business as well. A lot of my sites are still new though, so I plan on growing them further this year and really growing this part of my business. Now, the other thing that's not captured in this overview where I really am just talking about the numbers and how my audiences were impacted is how much I've personally been impacted and what effect that has had on the business. You know, I live in Melbourne, Australia. You know, another name for it might be the most lockdown city in the world. You know, it's made working really tough for months at a time when the kids have been at home, we're meant to homeschool. You know, I've got three kids. It's all very tricky. And I really just can't work much at all. You know, in the first lockdown, which feels like forever ago, I was still trying to work a reasonable amount. And all it did was, you know, drive me close to a mental break. It just like didn't work. So I've sort of learned to really shut down myself at those times if I don't want to go crazy. The other thing that has been a disaster, both personally and professionally for me, is my bad ankle break, which was over 6 months ago now, but is still having a big impact on my life. You know, I'm still not walking properly. I can't walk very far. I'm doing a lot of physio and it's a big time drain. So that makes it hard too. You know, I'm losing, you know, probably at least an hour a day I would work on my business if it wasn't for that. But it also, you know, is a really bad mental health drain. It's really depressing. You know, I can't help but really worry I'm never going to walk properly again. No one really seems to want to answer that question. So I guess we'll find out. And it's just been really hard to deal with. You know, it's made everything feel like a struggle. And then you can add in our change of policy here in Victoria, Australia, you know, from staying locked up way too much to letting COVID absolutely everywhere, including in our family. I caught it myself last month, along with my kids. Somehow my husband avoided it. But anyway, it wasn't like it was that much of a deal having it. It's more the impact of while we were trying not to catch it because we wanted to see my family in Tasmania, you know, we didn't do much. So I had the kids with me all the time, so I couldn't work. And all that, you know, then we were in isolation for a while, so I couldn't work. It's just all these things that just pile on top of each other and just how much mental energy can go to just understanding COVID policy and what's going on as well. There is one great thing at the moment when it comes to my time, and that's that my youngest kid, he's 5 and a half. He just started school recently. So assuming schools stay open, I finally have all my kids at school. Now, I've actually been calling this and looking for, like, living the dream. Like, since my daughter started school, when she started school, I hadn't quite had my youngest yet. And I was like thinking how great it'll be when I have all my kids at school and I get all this extra time because I have never been willing to put them in full-time childcare. So I'm finally living this dream, you know, and I'm looking forward to that helping a little time-wise. So yeah, the impact the pandemic has been quite bad. You know, I even blame the pandemic on my ankle because I did it when I was painting a cupboard doors in my backyard because I would go all home renovation oriented during lockdowns. It would help me mentally cope doing something physical. But I wouldn't have got that injury had we not been in a lockdown and if I hadn't been painting that door. So I'm just going to blame everything on COVID. Now, I really hope this doesn't sound like I'm just complaining. You know, I'm completely cognizant of the fact that the whole world has had it tough and plenty of people have had it far tougher than me. I'm just sharing that it's had an impact on my business and I'm sure I'm not the only one, which should make all of this more relatable, which is really the point of me sharing it. So to give you an idea of how much of an impact all of this I'm talking about, I compared the last three Decembers from 2019 to 2020. My revenue went down about 45%. Okay, so nearly half, massive. Between 2020 and 2021, it went down another 28%. And if I look at it over the 2 years from December 2019 to December 2021, it's a 60% drop. Okay, so it's a massive drop in my revenue. My costs have stayed about the same. There's times where I because I was worried about my revenue for obvious reasons. There's times when I got rid of a lot of my outsourcing, which is the majority of my costs, but more recently I've brought it all back. So my revenue actually in each December was, my costs were very similar. So yeah, I mean, so you can think of it as a massive drop to my income. And I'm certainly not starving, you know, like it's still well in the five figures. The numbers are very disheartening. And the problem is in my business is it's mostly about passive income. And that's why it even keeps dropping, even though, you know, I haven't been focusing on travel so much and stuff. So it really takes time for me to be affected by the fact I've had these big gaps where I've been unable to work. And it's why it keeps going down. I'll talk more about specifically about some parts of my business coming up. But let's move on to talking about changes in digitalnomadwannabe.com. Now, I talked about this a few episodes back when I first decided to shut down my course for a while. And if you want to know like all my different reasons, because they're really the same, you can go back and listen to that podcast. You know, it'll really illustrate them. But probably this summary is enough. And it just really comes down to, you know, the reason I have the courses is because I really love teaching. I was a teacher and I really loved that aspect of it. I love sharing with you here, but I really hate selling a course. Now, given, you know, it stopped making much money, this started to feel like a waste of time as well, and I simply don't have time to waste. So this is where it just comes down to, at the end of the day, I need to stop selling it. It's not worth the return on my time. Now, if you're currently in my course or thinking about signing up, don't worry. I'm here to support you and I'm not going anywhere. I'll update anything major. Not that good SEO and affiliate marketing need updating much. It's only ever small things around the edges I ever find I need to update anyway. You know, I really love teaching to you. I'm not shutting down the Facebook group or anything like that. You know, courses I started right at the beginning of me doing courses in 2017, you know, they haven't gone away. I still have the Facebook groups. I still will answer any questions. So, you know, I'll keep doing that part. I'll keep doing the teaching. I'm just not going to do the selling. Now, while I'm a little sad at this decision, I'm also happy as it feels right. This is because if I go back to my why, and by my why, I mean the why I created an online business, which is what I recommended you think back to. Whenever you've got a big business decision or you're unsure, it was for a better life. And a big way I saw myself having a better life was to stop trading time for money. Okay, now it's been 5 years since I started selling courses. So I gave it a really good go and I was never able to stop that link between my time equaling money. And it's just not worth it for me or how I want to live. You know, it just adds stress and I don't want to think I need to work, you know, a day a week or that's not going to make any money or whatever it becomes. It's just not how I want to run my business or live my life. Now, I do love the teaching. So Digital Nomad Wannabe is staying. You know, it does make some money outside of the courses and it doesn't matter anyway. I enjoy it. I'm going to do it. I'll hopefully do more podcasts and interviews and I'm going to get back to writing case study updates. I especially like the one that I'm about to talk about next. Now, these updates started in 2019 and are part of my ongoing case study on my Malaysia destination site, diveintomalaysia.com. Now, if you want to go to the show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode 32, you can get the link for all the other updates, or you can scroll back in your podcast feed as well and find the last couple, although initially they were videos, but you can find them all linked to on the website. And if you enjoy this update and you haven't heard the old ones, definitely go back and listen to them from the beginning. But you can still definitely get something from this update, even if you haven't heard about it before. So I'm going to start updating again, as I'd really like to start before the border reopens to Malaysia, so you can follow along with the impact that that has. You know, I'm interested myself what will happen. And I'm just really hoping it's this year. There is talk about March 1, so my fingers are crossed. But, you know, I've learned not to have any expectations on that, and it needs to actually happen before I change my plans this time. So my last update was all the way back in November 2020. So it's been 15 months, as it's now February 2022 when I'm recording this. Now, at that point, Malaysia was open domestically for travel, and that was fueling my traffic. September 2020 saw 39,000 traffic page views and earned $360, much lower than I'd hoped when I set my 2020 goals before the pandemic. But I was happy after months in the middle of that time with basically no traffic and no income. Now, 87% of my traffic at that point was Malaysian, while it had been just a small segment before COVID. So income was 50 to 60% ads with Azoic and the rest affiliates, with a mixture of hotels and transport bookings. The activities like Klook had been a reasonable affiliate to me before the pandemic, but that really dried up at that point. Unfortunately, 2021 was not so good. There was long periods of lockdown or movement orders as they immunised their population. There's been quite a few parallels in some ways between the situation in Australia and Malaysia, so I've always found it interesting following. But anyway, the Malaysian traffic did bounce back again after they opened up for domestic travel. But there are still a lot of rules around a lot of stuff in regards to that and international travel, because technically it is possible to go to Malaysia, but there is a lot of rules and, you know, you can just go to Langkawi and then you have, like, anyway, I don't want to go into the details of it. Like, no one is going to use my website that effectively who's an international traveler with the rules how they are now. Anyway, looking back at January 2022, so last full month as I'm recording this, I had 46,000 page views in the month and I made about $395. That was made up of $152 from Azoic. You know, my RPM is terrible at the moment with such a large Malaysian audience, which is currently at 73%. And I made $178 from Agoda, which is an estimate. Now, it's always tricky with hotel bookings because I don't like to track the payment except for my taxes, because I want to see how the site is ranking at the moment, tracking at the moment. But of course, at the moment, you can get so many cancellations. So what I do to work out my estimate with that is I track all the booked and stayed bookings. So I only look at bookings for the month. So in January, you know, I download a spreadsheet of everything that was booked. I will definitely count all the ones that where the person's already stayed, which is a reasonable percentage at the moment. Lots of people booking last minute, so that makes it good for my tracking. And the bookings that are left that haven't already been cancelled, because a lot have booked and cancelled immediately, but the ones that are rest, where they just haven't had the chance to stay yet, I'll count about 50% of those. Okay, so I'll count 50% of those and the ones that were booked and stayed. I also made $58 on activities from Klook and $7 on transport bookings, so people using buses or ferries through my affiliate links. Now, I've not put much content on this site at all in the last year. I'd guess 6 to 10 articles. And I didn't update it like most of my sites as part of my annual update, as it just doesn't earn enough for me to sink that cost at the moment. So I'm going to leave that until the traffic really bounces back. And then it's going to need quite an update, I imagine, because a lot has probably changed with the lack of international tourists. Now, the border was originally meant to open January 1. So I started having lots of plans to get back into this site this year. And then Omicron happened and, it didn't open. And I'm back to hibernating until things improve. The COVID advisory board has recommended borders open March 1, but who knows? I'm not getting excited again. I'm not going to plan for it again. I'm just going to wait till it happens. And really, even immediately when it happens, it's not like I expect a zillion people will go to Malaysia the next day. You know, it needs to get back on track some more before I'm going to really put a lot of effort in again. I do really hope it will happen this year and, you know, we can get back ourselves as well. I'm still doing very little with the Facebook group, but I did have a couple of posts in there last week from people, which was the first time in ages. So that made me feel a little bit hopeful. Now I'm currently switching many of my affiliate links. So Agoda, my main ones. I've got some booking.com on there as well. Klook, Viator and rental car programs that are mostly direct or use another marketplace. And I'm going to switch them to using travel payouts. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. My main affiliate, Agoda, has higher commissions on there, and it'll be much easier to get things in one spot. In fact, most of them have higher commissions in there, if not all. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes and just using a different platform with hopefully much better reporting. Now, if you have any questions about this case study update, go to the show notes at digitalnomadwannabe.com/episode32 and ask, or ask in the DNW Facebook group at dnwcommunity.com at any time. Now, I'm hoping things will change dramatically in this case study soon. If not, I recently started another destination site, which I may switch this case study to at some point, but I wanted to start indexing and getting traffic first. If any of you have had new sites recently, you'll know how difficult it can be for posts to start getting indexed in Search Console in Google. So, you know, I am definitely finding that over and over again. A bit frustrating, but anyway. So I actually now have 4 destination sites. One is on Tasmania, which I started in August 2020, and that is a completely different story and going much better than my Malaysian one. And I think it's really worth remembering for travel bloggers that maybe watch a little bit how you talk in Facebook groups sometimes. It's honestly really disheartening because some bloggers will just go, oh, yeah, travel's back, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's back for you, right? When you're reading that, when you're in lockdown yourself and, you know, the country that you write about is in lockdown and you haven't really made any money in ages or whatever, it's really disheartening, even though I'm incredibly happy for those people. And you should share your successes, 100% share your successes. I love to hear them. But just don't proclaim it's the same for all travel bloggers. That really is a frustration of mine and others I know. So there's not all back. It is really interesting to see who it's back for or not and learning from that. So share it and share it in a way that helps people, but maybe don't declare it's the same for everyone or, you know, there's something wrong with you because your site's not back too, you know. It's like just the reality of the situation for some of us. Anyway, enough about travel. And if you're still listening to me, yay, let's talk about the rest of my business, the Dino Inc. Media section where I have all my informational sites that I kind of built to sell. So some of this is other destination sites. One is brand new that I might switch the case study to at some point. One isn't, but that country is in Asia and it's still shut off, so it's not doing anything. And the other two are Malaysia and Tasmania ones I just mentioned. I also have Amazon affiliate focused sites. They're going well from the Amazon perspective, but tend to go up and down with Google updates. It's really annoying, actually. You know, I have 4 that are basically the exact same thing. They're written by the same people. They do everything in the same way. I use the same templates to create them even. You know, and once or twice a year, 1 or 2 of those will be hit by an update negatively and 1 or 2 will be hit positively. So it still remains much the same, like income-wise. So for that, like, you know, it's not terrible for me. But it is just really frustrating because it's really hard to learn from that as well. You're like, why do you like that site now and not the other one? You know, like, it's like I can't learn anything from it except for that it's quite random. And it does lead to a lot of wasted time because I'll often move around some content when that happens, you know, because the sites are very similar. It could make sense to move some of the buying guides to a different one. I also have some other non-Amazon affiliate sites that are a variety of doing good and not good. I'm also trying something new and I've started 3 sites that I'm trying to grow without any link building. So this is like the model that's popular at the moment where you focus on super low competition content and you're more aiming for ad earnings. You know, I've talked about this before on this podcast. I do have misgivings about it. I've never liked the idea of chasing traffic. And when you're primarily aiming for advertising revenue, you're really about chasing traffic. And to do this sort of model as well, you also need tons of content. So it's a lot much bigger investment than what I would normally make in a site before it's making money. But we'll see, you know, I'm ready to give it a go. What I do like about this model is it's easier to scale. I would never outsource link building. You can listen to my podcast on link building if you want to know more about that. So it relies on me, which means I can only grow so many sites at a time this way, which like isn't really how I want this to work either. I want me not part of the process where possible. So the new sites are on gardening, food and health, and pets. There's a little Amazon on there, but it's mostly Ezoic. They all focus on a US audience, so I get that better ad revenue. I really don't think this model would be worth it in Australia, for example, just because of that ad revenue not being great, and Australian writers are maybe the most expensive because, you know, wages are high here. There's a lot of reasons why I wouldn't worry about that for Australia, for example, but I would probably apply that equally to quite a few other countries. But US has the best ad revenue, so I'm going with that. And I'm starting with around 100 posts on each to see what happens. 2 of them, I already have the 100 posts, and the 3rd one is just about there. I wrote half of them for the food and health, but all the rest is outsourced. I'm relying on Google traffic mostly, but I'm also using Pinterest on the food and health. There's a lot of recipe and like some stuff that, and then like things like skincare and all of that, which works quite well on there. It is growing well on Pinterest. So people are saying it's dead. I can't really agree. But I'm still not sure it's worth the time suck. You know, even though I have, you know, I worked out the strategy, I have my VA doing all of it, but it's taking a lot of her time when I could have her on something else that would probably be a better use of time. So I keep going up and down on whether we should keep doing that, but I would really like to give it a bit longer because it's only been 4 or 5 months since we started doing that and it's growing well. I haven't looked recently. I think it's about a few thousand page views a month, so not too bad. Google's only recently overtaken it on that site. I guess I'll give it a few more months and see if it gets to the level where it's worth that amount of time investment. Now, the gardening site that I'm doing is actually on a domain I already own. So how this goes will be more interesting and I'll update you because it already has a bit of domain authority. I did link build to it in the past. It currently earns about $500 a month in personal finance niche, but I feel like it's dying. It used to earn a lot more. I feel like that site's kind of tailoring off. So I've rebranded it to gardening because I just hope it'll give it a head start. It certainly is helping it rank a little quicker and, you know, posts index immediately instead of me waiting weeks like I do when I use a brand new domain. So we'll see how that goes. So yeah, the health and food one is actually on an aged domain. So a domain I already owned and put content on years ago, but then I did absolutely nothing else with. So it's got a little bit of an advantage with the aged domain. So the gardening is on the domain that had other stuff on it earning money and the pets is on a brand new one. So we'll see how that goes. The food one and the health one, that's the one site. They do seem to be out of the sandbox. So the traffic's starting to go up from Google as well as Pinterest. So that's really good. It's still quite low, but, you know, when you see it going up 10, 20% every week, you know, it's kind of exciting. I actually made $103 from Azoic in January and $31 from Amazon. Like I said, it still has low traffic. So that's a pretty good indication already. Now, in case this isn't already a crazy amount of sites to start, it's not all I've done. I guess I'm really trying to spread out how the types of sites I have and my risk and hoping that things will go better. So another thing I did was start a new site in an area that is a new hobby of mine, which is a skincare, natural skincare. It's also Australian focused because I couldn't really find much that was Australian focused on making your own natural skincare. And I can just see lots of directions this could go beyond affiliates and advertising. You know, you could easily have your own digital products. You could sell your own skincare. There are lots of things you could do. And although I'm not really crazy about taking those directions at this point in time, we really don't know how much longer the pandemic could go for and how much more of an impact it could have on travel. And while Dive in Malaysia is always a site I want to grow far beyond my affiliate advertising model, you know, what if that just isn't possible for another 10 years? I feel like I need to start building up another site where I could do a lot more with it. And it will just give me other options if we keep being so heavily impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. So that's why I've started that site. I do love it. I don't mind writing this stuff. I find it really interesting. I love the excuse to keep trying out new recipes. I'm doing a course on it as well. So yeah, that's another area I'm doing stuff. Now, if all of this is making you think, what the hell, how could anyone do all of this? You know, I'm able to do it because I'm reinvesting a lot of my revenue. Okay, a lot of these sites really take up very little of my time. Like we just had the summer holidays here in Australia for like 6 or so weeks with the kids at home. We had like 2 days of holiday care. I looked after them all the rest of the time. I didn't work much at all. But I was able to keep this going because I just outsourced so much of the content. You know, all I have to do is give it a look over. I'm doing most of the proofreading at the moment, which I could outsource at some point for sure as well. You know, I planned all the topics before the summer holidays and it was able to just keep ticking over. So, you know, I probably spend about an hour a day on average on building these sites. Okay, so it's not a huge amount. But yeah, I am reinvesting a lot of my revenue. It is kind of scary for me because for the first time since 2015, I'm not actually earning enough that my husband could stop work and I could solely support us. Admittedly, our costs are super huge and I'm still earning more personally than what we used to live off before I started my online business. But my husband works full-time anyway, and we're saving money. So this is a good time for me to make that investment anyway. I also have a really good content creation system in place, which makes it super smooth. And that's why it really doesn't take much of my time, like I was just talking about. But like I've sort of already illustrated, it is kind of the problem of the no-link model, though, if you're thinking about it when you listen to me. It is way more work up front without profits than the traditional blogging approach I usually teach. And I still think if you're someone with just one or two blogs, you know, the approach that I normally talk about is the way to go, and I'm not walking away from it. But the upside of going the approach I'm talking about now with no link building is if you've got the money to invest, it's way easier to remove myself from the process, which is good. I'm planning 3 months off this year. We're hoping to go to Europe, fingers crossed. Trying not to get too excited about that, which is really hard in case it can't happen. But, you know, I can keep doing this and my business will keep growing with that model. Of course, it needs to start proving that it works, that it's worth all this investment, and I'll keep you updated on that. I'm sure people will write saying, how do you do this? How do you find the keywords or whatever else? Like, I'm not going to teach anything about it to actually prove it works because I don't believe in teaching stuff that aren't proven, but I will keep you updated on how it goes as well. So that's it. I covered a whole lot in this episode, so I hope I didn't make your head spin too much. To recap, I talked about the impact of COVID on my business, how I'm stopping selling courses on Digital Nomad Wannabe, but I will update you more on this podcast and with income reports, etc. I also gave you an update on this case study, which is still waiting for borders to reopen, and I told you how crazy I've been creating new sites in the last 6 months. As a final reminder, if you're listening to this before March 6th, or 7, depending where you are in the world, my premium 10-week blogging course, Build Blog Freedom Fast Track, is about to shut down to new students. It gives you a full training program for SEO and affiliate marketing and tells you exactly what you need to do to get traffic and then monetize it. It's a process I've repeated myself many times. And you can sign up now at digitalnomadwannabe.com/BBF and get started with that. Now, make sure you also subscribe to this channel because I'll be back again soon with plenty to share.
Thanks for listening to Make Money Blogging with Digital Nomad Wannabe. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable tips and strategies for growing traffic and income for your blog so you can build a blogging business you love. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.